Before we get to episode 142 and my interview with Anthony and Jason, I wanted to talk to you a little about Believe You Can 2021. It's coming up October 16th, and we're looking for performers. So if you can sing or dance or tell jokes, we'd love to have you enter into the talent show. Go to believeyoucan.live. That's believeyoucan.live. Look for the application and send it in to Lisa. You have until the end of September to do that. Tickets are also available on sale at believeyoucan.live, where you can buy tickets for $10 or $25, depending on what style of ticket you want. We really appreciate your support. Thanks.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 142 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this episode, and I've got a great one lined up. We're going to get to an interview with Anthony and Jason from Straight Off the Canvas in a couple of seconds, but before we get to that, I just want to tell you to stick around. I've got a couple of other stories, including an update on the dining set from BJ's, which is just brutal. And I'll talk a little bit after about the PCR test that I did today that I was very worried about, still a little worried about if I don't get the results back. But before we get to that stuff, let's talk to Anthony Saldana and Jason Figuera. They've produced a documentary called Straight Off the Canvas. It follows the journey and the passion of a couple of blind and visually impaired New York artists. And it is just a great story. And there's some kids in there, and there's one kid in general that really had made me think of some of the things that we learned, meaning Dan and I, when we were learning to do graphic and web design. And to be honest, Anthony and Jason kind of reminded me of the story of Dan and I. Anthony and Jason met about 15 years ago in class. Dan and I met around 15, 18 years ago in class, and we started digital graphics design. And Anthony and Jason met, and they started producing documentaries, which is very cool. And it's video production is another thing that I'd love to do. But I think I've already got enough stuff going on. So without further ado, let me welcome in Jason Figuera and Anthony Saldana from Straight Off the Canvas. Guys, thanks for coming on today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Why don't we start with you, Jason? Give us a little background of yourself.
Well, my name is Jason Figuera, and I'm a documentary filmmaker living in Queens, New York. When I finished my studies at Hofstra University, I got a master's in documentary. And this is when I started doing independent filmmaking with Anthony, leading up to this film, Straight Off the Canvas. And when I'm not doing my independent work, a audiovisual technician, I work for CUNY, and I'm basically also trying to become my own independent comic book writer. So, I'm just taking a course in that, and I fell in love with it. So I'm also pursuing that on the side. So, But this film, Straight Off the Canvas, when I was working on it, it took up some time, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It was a great journey, and we're planning to do more films in the future.
Okay, sounds good. Anthony, how about you?
I am Anthony Saldana, from also from Queens, New York. I'm a documentary filmmaker. I graduated from Queens College in 2008. And really got immersed in the filmmaking world in New York City. And, you know, it can be really challenging and tough. And so in order to support myself, I found a career in customer service, and have been doing documentaries about the visually impaired community for about a little over 10 years. The first documentary was about the National Federation of the Blind's New York City's chapter.
Okay.
They allowed us to, come into their meetings and really learn about their organization and the wonderful members of their organization and the great work that they do. And I had really wanted to tell a story about visually impaired artists. But I also knew that I had a responsibility to tell their stories honestly. And that's why I did the documentary about the National Federation of the Blind, because you want to tell an honest story, you have to start with the activists. You know, it's just a reality. And from there, I went to get my master's degree at New York Institute of Technology. And with that master's degree, they basically said you had to produce a film by the end of the, you know, to finish. And I said, well, I want to do a documentary about visually impaired artists. And that's what became Straight Off the Canvas. I graduated about 3 years ago. So it's taken some time to go from, you know, here's my thesis to to actually bring it out to the world. So it took some time to do that, but I'm really excited about that.
Now, before working on this project, did you guys know each other going in, or did you connect somehow after you started?
We knew each other. Yeah, well, we knew each other from before, since Queens College. I would say since 2005, 2006? No, 2004, that's right. Computer science class. There we go.
That's funny. Right. And what led you to choose doing stories on the visually impaired? I was kind of curious about that as I was watching the video. Yeah,
no problem. So basically, I had just out of curiosity and during boredom, I had asked myself, I wonder how blind people perceive art. And from doing the research, I actually read a book by the name of Ordinary Daylight by Andrew Potok, who's basically a artist that was going blind. And that that book had really inspired me to not only do a documentary series about blind people, but really to take it seriously. Like, this is an important topic. So, you know, that book was really an inspiration.
Okay. And when you started the project, was it something that you said, hey, did you know Elizabeth or Jessica going in, or did you just start doing some research and, you know, those names popped up and you looked further into them?
I didn't know Elizabeth or Jessica. I had seen Jessica in another documentary about visually impaired, you know, people in New York City. Never put two and two together that, you know, she would be a great resource for this documentary. I had first started to, you know, research about Elizabeth years ago. They did a New York Times article about her. Okay. And from there, I had it didn't take long, but, you know, after reaching out to her, she was on board. It didn't take long to convince her that this would be a great project. You know, we had been getting to know her through pre-production, and right before we were about to start the interview, so it was January of 2012. I had gotten into a workplace accident that had really affected my back and still affects my back to this day. And so now I had to call Elizabeth and tell Elizabeth, hey, I got into an accident. I have to take care of myself for a couple months and I'll get back to you. And when I did that, she also had a workplace accident that caused her to retire. And that completely changed the course of the film, because, you know, when you want to interview a teacher, you want to show the teacher teaching her students, and you know, like, we couldn't do that. And that's what opened the door to me trying to find Jessica Jones and the Lavelle School for the Blind. So it all worked out.
Okay. And how long did you do the shooting over the course of, I guess it sounds like quite a while, but how many days did you actually do shooting? Was it a constant thing, or were you starting, stopping as things came up? How did that go?
Well, we were starting and stopping because for the interviews, we had to wait till we got permission. And of course, they signed release forms to make sure that, you know, our interviewees were comfortable being on camera. And we have to pick times and places where to interview them. And for some of the shots, like at the Lavelle School for the Blind, it took us, what, Anthony, like almost a good year or more to get permission.
Three years
to get permission to film in school.
Okay.
And we also had to wait for parents to give their permission afterwards.
Right.
Because some parents did not want their kids on camera. So before we even turned, before we even brought any cameras to Lavelle, we had to go through a lot of like red tape and make sure we were allowed in the school and parents knew what was going on. And what that's what, and I'd say like 3 years later, we finally got to turn on our cameras in Jessica's classroom. And it was a day of shooting and it was a great day. We got so many wonderful things on camera. As a cameraman, you look for certain moments, and we got a ton of those those special moments where teachers and students connected very well. And we just knew that that classroom footage was going to be essential when we shot it, and it was worth waiting for 3 years.
It was.
Yeah, you know, one thing that that struck me, and it's towards the end where there was a kid had made a sculpture, and I don't remember what the sculpture was, but he said, I'm thinking it was a boy. He said, you know, I used triangles for the ears, and you know, something just connected with me with that because I love art, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But a few weeks ago, I do another show that's not yet on the podcast directory. It's called White Canes Connect. And when I was coming up with the cover art that we need to send in when we go to get on the podcast directories, it's in conjunction with the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. And I thought, you know, it'd be cool if we took the NFBFPA logo and put it in a keystone. I wonder if I could find a keystone somewhere. And I'm like, you know what? I think I can make one. I bet I can make one. And I went into Adobe Illustrator and I thought, you know, a friend of mine who is fully sighted, you know, once made such a cool logo. And it basically was just, you know, it was rectangles and squares and you know, triangles and whatnot. And he made this, you know, it was called Regal Catering. He made this logo of a person in a tuxedo. And I thought, you know, if he could do that, I could certainly make a keystone out of a triangle and a square and, you know, play with the square a little bit and make it so, you know, it's tapered on either side. And sure enough, I did. And when that kid said that he used triangles for the ears, I thought that's exactly, it's exactly what you do when you're doing something in Illustrator, when you combine and so forth. So I just had to laugh at that.
Yeah. He was really proud of his.
I believe his that was Nazir. Yeah. And he was a great character to come in, and we filmed him, and you know, I could tell right away. I was like, oh, he's definitely going to be part of our movie.
Yeah, he seemed pretty animated and happy and proud of what he had done. Oh. So I thought that was funny, but you know, as soon as he said the triangle thing, I thought, wow. So. So the others that you talked about, and there was one other thing that I saw in the movie, and I thought this was interesting. Because I have a little bit of vision, I usually reverse my screen. I use a Mac and I reverse my screen. So I, you know, everything is, you know, if there's one thing I see great, it's glare. Right now I'm looking at my monitor and it's a black screen with white text. So when I had the video running, And I actually had rewatched this the video a couple days ago. I had it reversed, and I think it was Elizabeth talking, and to her right was a picture, a painting that had it looked like it was reds and blues, but the funny thing was when I unreversed my screen for a second so I could see what colors it actually was. The colors that she used, and I'm assuming she did it, maybe she didn't do it. The colors that when I unreversed my screen, the colors were the exact same, just in the different spots. So the blue was the red and the red was the blue. And again, I could be off with the colors because, you know, my vision is terrible, but they right. they basically look the same reversed, you know, obviously just in different spots. And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder, you know, did that just happen, or was it, you know, was it planned? I don't know that you guys know the answer, but I just thought it was very cool. You know, it was, I think it was fairly early on in the video, you know, where she was sitting there.
Well, during the interview, she's pretty much wearing like a greenish blue top, and she found a greenish blue painting.
Okay.
That we put to the side of it. So.
Okay, it was when she was talking about Kathy. And I thought, man, that is just so cool. You know, I always think it's funny that. A couple of years ago, I was working on a logo for something I was doing, and I had my screen reversed. And, you know, because I can't see great, I had my daughter who was home at the time. I said, "Hey, could you check this out? How does this look?" And I said, let me unreverse it. And, you know, she's looking at it, and it was orange and black and white. And I unreversed it, and it was blue and black and white. And she's like, "Oh, I think I like the orange better." I said, no, that's just my screen. You know, I unreversed my screen. This is the color that I was going for. Mm-hmm. And she said, "No, I like the orange better." And I, you know, then I did some research on, you know, the meanings of orange and would it work with this logo, and it did, and I kept it. So, just kind of funny. And so those two things in the, you know, that they really stuck out to me in the video. Again, some of the things I just couldn't make out. And but it was very interesting, the things that, you know, that Elizabeth learned from her friend way back, you know, that, hey, she wanted to be, you know, she liked what Jessica was doing, and, you know, art wise and, you know, and how she gravitated towards that. And, you know, a lot of people look at me funny when I, you know, they say, "Oh, well, what do you do?" I said, "Well, I, you know, do websites. I love to do logos and things like that. I mean, I shouldn't, because it takes me forever to do something. And then, you know, I've got to have somebody to take a look to make sure this is right and that's right and these are lined up and so forth. But, you know, when you like something, you just want to do it. And, you know, and it's great to see that Elizabeth stuck with it and, right. you know, can do that sort of stuff.
You know, and there, it was, I mean, there was a lot of work that went into it in terms of like, well, you know, I'm retired now, but I'd still want to tell you my story. And we have to keep, there's still story to be told here. So we have to continue telling it. And okay. that, you know, it was, you know, she, definitely uses art as a therapy, like a healing therapy for her, and we definitely had that as one of the messages of the film.
Okay. And she did teach before she retired? She did teach at Lavelle School for the Blind?
No, she taught in the New York City public school system.
Oh, okay. Okay, and so how did you get connected with Lavelle? Was it something that she had suggested, or how did that
come? I found Jessica's, you know, information. Like, I found a video that Jessica had done, and, you know, I just reached out to. I think it was important to reach out to Jessica before reaching out to Lavelle, because if I hadn't, I don't think I would have been able to convince Lavelle to, you know, bring us on board if Jessica wasn't. On board. So yeah.
Okay. And if folks who are listening want to check out the video, where's the best place to go for them to watch the video? Both, I know you have two versions, both described and you know, without the description. Where's the best place to go for that?
Right now, we're still working to get a distribution deal.
Okay.
So we do, you can follow us on Twitter at Straight Canvas.
Okay.
We have worked in the past with the National Federation for the Blind in terms of their national, you know, basically like executives.
Chapters.
Chapters.
Their statewide chapters. Yeah.
To basically have we had the film available for a week, and it did very well. And we also did a screening, and we did a screening with the ACB convention, and that went very well as well. And it's just we're still waiting for the right opportunity. But if you can also go to straightoffthecanvas.com, and we have updates on future screenings. And if you're listening to this podcast, and you would love to have your chapter have a screening, we're open to working with everybody.
Okay. Yeah, it's I was happy to see that you I saw that email a couple of weeks ago as far as the week of viewing for that. Oh, yeah. And again, it was just it's just another thing, man. I gotta get these guys on. It's just been so long. and I've got all sorts of things coming up, and I thought when you had messaged me the other day, Anthony, I thought, this would be a good time because, I didn't have much for an episode this coming week. And I thought, if I could do it early, if they were available, and thank God you guys are, it just worked out. And I'm so happy that, I've been able to have you guys on. How about in the future? What are you guys looking to do in the future as time moves on?
Well, as we're doing these podcasts, we're learning more and more that Jason and I, have our own story to tell, and we actually are working on a documentary about our friendship, and more specifically Jason's journey as a filmmaker with obsessive compulsive disorder.
Okay.
And so we have years worth of friendship like videos that we can turn into a documentary, but Jason's has been struggling with OCD for quite some time, and he could tell you more about that.
Okay. And how about so at the moment you're working on that, and any kind of time frame when that may come out?
It's based on the pandemic, because we're finished with 80% of it.
Okay.
But there's still some moments that need to be ironed out, and it can't be ironed out until the pandemic is kind of.
Yeah, we need to travel to, finish up some of the stories. We have two subjects.
Okay.
One of them, we want to go to Texas for one of those stories. And unfortunately, their COVID numbers are way too high to go. It's in Houston. I wanted to go this summer, but their numbers were way too high to travel out there.
Right. Okay. It's funny that you say that. I'll be up in New York the end of this week for a few days. We're going to be part of a documentary. When I say we, I'm in an all blind fantasy football league. And I'm sure the people who are listening are like, he brings that into everything. the chances of, it was either going to be New York or LA. And while I'd love to go to LA on somebody else's dime, I just was not comfortable getting on a plane for 5 or 6 hours and flying out there. And, here I can jump on a train and go up to New York and be there in less than 2 hours without all the craziness of an airport and everything else. And I just can't imagine, people who are, actively traveling, just for fun, let alone for work. These days. So, okay. So that's good to know. So, all right. Well, as far as, do you guys, are you on social media much? Where can folks catch up with you individually?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're on social media. So like I said, Twitter @StraightCanvas.
Okay.
Our facebook.com/StraightCanvas. So we're on social media.
Okay. Okay. And you talk about other things besides that, the video there, the main place you guys want folks to go?
We talk about other stuff, but that's our main, subject that we speak about.
Okay. Is there something else you wanted to share that maybe I didn't talk about or bring up, that you want to get going? I know Anthony had said you'd be happy to get in front of some other NFB chapters, and talk about the video, and I think that would be great. Anything else that, maybe I didn't bring up that you'd like to talk about?
We covered most of it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm
say with the chapters, we had a very successful screening recently with our Buffalo chapter, which is our New York State chapter of NFB, and it went very well.
Okay.
So we have done a state a state chapter already with New York.
Okay.
So we're looking to see, you know, which other states would like to get involved.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the ability to do virtual screenings and in-person screenings, depending on, you know, the location.
So. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's, I was just going to bring up, maybe it's something that, that I could bring up with, the Pennsylvania State Convention is coming up in November in Harrisburg. And
I was actually just looking at that.
Okay. Yeah, and so that might be something to, to try and get on their radar for,
because I'm definitely be interested in spending my birthday weekend in Harrisburg.
I don't think many people say that. Although I shouldn't bash it.
Market it as Anthony's birthday weekend.
Taking place in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
That's funny. That's good stuff. So, and Anthony, as I said to you, I'm involved with that other project, which is, with the NFBFPA. So, I've mentioned it to the person who is co-host of that, and we'll try and get you on there.
Sure. Yeah.
Again, the name of the film is Straight Off the Canvas. Look for information about it at straightoffcanvas.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Straight Canvas. And Jason Figuera and Anthony Saldana, I wish you the very best with the film, and thank you for coming on the I Can't See You podcast today, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having
us. Thanks for having us.
Again, thanks to Anthony and Jason for coming on. I really appreciated talking with them, and I'm looking forward after talking to them about their documentary, what goes on with, and I know people are going to start to roll their eyes, what goes on with the video production that is going on Thursday up in New York when we do the All Blind Fantasy Football Draft. And, before I get into that for a second, I do want to go back and touch a couple of years ago, back in 2017, I think it was, or 2018, I went up to the New York Public Library and they had a blind event there, and they had all sorts of places there. But one of the places, and I believe it was the Met, it was either the Met or MoMA, Museum of Modern Art. They were doing this art stuff, and they had us do, a self-portrait. And when I did mine, it reminded me of the one I did in first grade. Now, in first grade, I obviously had better vision, and I was just bad at drawing, I guess, back then. I don't know what the excuse is now. I still am terrible at drawing, and I have very little vision. But I will try and get an image of that. I believe I still have that somewhere, and put it up at some point. It is just kind of funny. But I always have loved doing all sorts of art. My mom loved painting. She had an easel and would paint and was very good at it. She actually, when I was a kid, and when I say a kid, like even in my teens and early 20s, she would paint sweatshirts and stuff for me. She did a West Coast Video shirt for me. She painted, if you're familiar with the band called Asia, she did one of their album covers for me, the Sea Serpent, on a sweatshirt, which was very, very cool. And some other things, geometric shape ones and things like that. It was very, very cool. And so I kind of got that, I guess, that passion from her for that. I'm nowhere near as good as my mom was, or, probably as good as any third grader. But I love doing it. And, I think as I do it, I would maybe get better. I would hope. The podcast is a little better than back during episode one, right? 141 episodes ago. Maybe it's not. But it was a very cool afternoon seeing all the things at the New York Public Library. And that was the first time I went on my own to New York. I went by train, and Jane and one of her friends met me after they had gone to a taping of Jimmy Fallon. So after that, we met up and then we had dinner, and then I came home and, they went back to their dorms. They were, they were still in college. And it was just very cool. It was a very cool afternoon. And, and again, part of going there, for that stuff was getting there on my own. I did everything on my own. And it was just a great day. And, it was a lot of fun. And again, I don't know. I wish we had followed up more with the art stuff, because there were a couple of things, programs that they were having. And again, I'm not sure if it was Metropolitan Museum of Art or Museum of Modern Art. I don't remember which one it was, but I've never gone to either, and I'd love to go to both. So maybe one day I'll get a chance to go up there one day, you know, once COVID stuff is done. I say that, you know, in 2 days, actually tomorrow, meaning when you hear this, if you listen on Thursday, yesterday, I'm recording this this part on Tuesday afternoon. And I did have my PCR test today, and I was very worried about it because I had to go on my own. I had to go through the drive-thru, even though, of course, you know, I can't see the drive. And, you know, back when I was in college, I'd gone through a drive-thru with a friend of mine who was making a bank deposit, and we got the what for, because you're not allowed to walk through the drive-thru. And so I was worried I would get there today and they wouldn't allow me to do it. It worked out great. The guy who was there, and I didn't get his name and I should have, he was very helpful. And I did the, you know, the brain scrape with the Q-tip up my nose, both nostrils, put it in the tube. You know, I was worried about doing that. I was worried, you know, my fingers don't work very well. I was worried about dropping it on the floor. I was worried about getting it into the tube, because I can't see and I can't feel to hold the thing very well. So, but it all went well. I walked over there, got it done. And the longest time that I spent was actually waiting. I was the quote unquote third car in line. So there were two cars in front of me and then me standing. But hopefully they have the results back in time for the production on Thursday with the fantasy football draft, which I'm really looking forward to. As I said earlier, you know, I've always been into doing video and stuff like that. So I'm interested to see, especially after talking to Jason and Anthony, you know, about producing videos and to see what Verizon Media has set up for us. You know, as I said last week, I spoke to the director last week, and, you know, I'm not sure how big the crew is. I know there's going to be 9 of us on site in New York. And we'll be at a place called Douglas House, which is actually in a place called Orangeburg, New York. It's actually a place, an old farmhouse that was purchased to specifically do film and video production. So kind of excited about that. I've been studying my fantasy football players. I'm sure I'll still pick a guy that goes down with some sort of horrific injury, but I'm looking forward to that. And of course, I'll report back on that next week. And I may even do a little bit of a blog about the actual traveling from here to there. I learned today that I was planning on taking the train from Swarthmore into Philadelphia, but because of COVID and I guess the lack of ridership during the midday hours, I could either go at noon and get there about 2 hours before my Amtrak train leaves, or, you know, get an Uber, which I'm going to get an Uber. So I'm not sitting around 30th Street Station for 2 hours. I don't know what I would do with that time. I wouldn't sit down. So I, you know, maybe I'd get a bunch of steps in, but again, I'm going to have a suitcase and a backpack. So I'm not sure I want to be walking around with that. And it's a Primark backpack that we bought in London when Jane studied abroad and we had too much stuff to bring home. I don't think we had too much stuff. You know who had too much stuff. And she was the one that was in London all that time. And so it's this white suitcase. It looks like basically it's got graffiti on it. And it's got all sorts of, you know, places in London and a double-decker bus and, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. I mean, it really is. It should be easy for me to spot if I, you know, leave it somewhere. You know, nobody's going to say, oh, no, that was my bag. Nobody, I'm sure, is going to have this bag tomorrow when I travel. I mean, tomorrow, I mean Wednesday. So when you're listening to this, this is going to drop on Thursday. I'm going to schedule it today. So so I'm looking forward to it. And I will put everything in the show notes, links to the information that Anthony and Jason gave us. I'll also have a link to the book that Anthony mentioned called Ordinary Daylight. And again, that's going to be an affiliate link. So if you do click on that, you know, I appreciate that and thank you very much. It certainly, you know, won't be a bunch of money that we earn, but it'll be a couple of pennies, I'm sure, maybe even a dollar. But if you do buy the book or anything else at Amazon after clicking that link again, that will help us out. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, please reach out 646-926-6350. Again, 646-926-6350. You have up to 3 minutes to leave a voice message for us. Please let me know if it's okay to use it in an upcoming episode, if it's a question that I can answer in an upcoming episode, or, you know, you don't like what I'm doing or you do like what I'm doing, please let me know it's okay. Just, you know, again, leave your name in town and, you know, what your question or comment is or show idea. And I appreciate that. You can also reach out via email, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence. It is only 7 characters long. And show notes will be available at icantseeyou.com/142, icantseeyou.com/142. I really appreciate you listening to this episode of the I Can't See You podcast. Thank you so much. I hope you're staying safe, you're well, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.